and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our last study of the book of Ephesians chapter 5, we left off with verse 28. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Well, men need to love their wives as their own bodies. Why? Because husbands and wives are one flesh, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. And that verse in verse 28 goes on to say, "He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Well, that may seem strange, but we love ourselves, men, and we need to treat our wives like we would ourselves. And we love ourselves, so we should love our wives the same way. And another thought concerning verse 28 is this, "So ought men to love their wives." And this verse does not say, "So ought women to love their wives." And I said last time that one of the greatest plagues to hit mankind is that of women thinking they can be just like men. A woman thinking she can be a husband is simply ignorant of or just plain sinful when she thinks she can thwart God's order of things that he, that God, placed in effect from the beginning. Now, I read a few verses the last time, and I'm going to continue on reading this now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them." Genesis 6, 19, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark." This is God speaking to Noah now. He says, "To keep them alive and with thee, they shall be male and female." Genesis chapter 7 and verse 2. "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." Genesis chapter 7. And verse 9, "There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Verse 22 of Genesis 2 says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. "And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." How ignorant is a person who thinks a woman can be the husband of another woman? On the other hand, how ignorant is a person who thinks a man can be the husband of another man? Is this ignorance or stupidity? Well, I will just call it like it is. Like the Bible says, it is just plain sin. When people try to change God's word, God says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." We don't say things according to what we think when it comes to things of this magnitude of women thinking they can be the husband of another woman, or a man thinking he can be the wife of another man. This is what God says, that we mightest overcome. How? By the word of God. We don't say what we think. We say what God says from his word. God goes further in the description of those who try to change what he has set down as truth. Romans chapter 3, verses 13 through 19. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Snakes, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Their throats spew out the filthiness that the devil has given them to spew out. Their tongues, they use deceit to try and fool people into thinking that, oh, everything's all right because I'm doing what I need to do. The poison of snakes is under their lips. It says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They curse the people who stand up for God. They curse people who say that a man is to be with a woman and not a man with another man. Their feet are swift to shed blood. They're the first to say, kill that unborn child. Get rid of that baby. Before that baby, that child comes into this world. And even now, I understand they're killing children after they're born. Immediately after they're born, they're killing them. Well, it goes to say that in verse 16 of Romans chapter 3, destruction and misery are in their ways. These people are miserable and don't even realize it. They have no peace because they're like the raging sea. They're like the raging ocean that boils up and goes on and on without any peace. You see, some will stand before the white throne of God's judgment seat one day, and he will tell those who refuse to listen to him, as he tells people today, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's what he's going to tell people as they stand at the white throne. Only the unsaved will be there for judgment. He's going to say that they are without excuse. There's no reason why they did not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no reason why they didn't listen to his word and follow him. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner no matter who they are. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God hates homosexuality, but he loves the homosexual. He wants that person to know him as Lord and Savior. Whether it's a man or a woman, homosexual, God says, I love you and I want you to be one of mine. I want you to trust me as your Lord and Savior. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wonder if Lot told that to the people or something in effect to tell them about God, to tell the people there that they needed to get saved. I wonder if Lot told people they needed to turn to Jesus Christ and get away from the sodomy, the homosexuality that prevailed in Sodom and Gomorrah. And let me say this, just as God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he will destroy this world. He will destroy our country because things are going the way of the devil. When we have people in leadership, people who are homosexual trying to turn everybody into a homosexual, when we have women who are acting like men, when we have men who are acting like women, God says enough is enough. And one of these days, if something doesn't happen, if Christians do not fall on their faces and start praying to God, oh God, change this world. Change the people. Save their souls. If we don't get serious with God, God will destroy this country just as he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Mark it down. It's the word of God. People do not get away with sin, and neither does a country. A nation that forgets God is doomed. The Bible is plain. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's anyone. These people that we look at and they ridicule God, They ridicule everything about God. They ridicule the people who stand for God. But we need to love them. That's hard. But God says that we're to love these people. And we're to tell them about Jesus Christ before it's too late. Before they end up at the white throne judgment. Before they stand there and God says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." And by the way, the one that the person has rejected in this life is the one who's going to judge them at the white throne judgment. He's Jesus. He's God. And he's going to judge everyone. He's going to pronounce judgment, the sentence of everlasting fire in the lake of fire for that person who dies without him, without knowing him as Lord and Savior. That person is going to go into the lake of fire. Verse 29, it's hard to get away from that verse 28. And it's hard to understand how people can stay in the sin that they're in, living the life that they live, not trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh God, help us who are saved to help these people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 5. Goes on to say, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Now remember, let me get back to the subject of this section that we're looking at. We're talking about Jesus Christ and the church. We're talking about husbands and wives. And it says that we're to love our wives because we are one flesh. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church." And verse 29 says, "No man ever yet hated his own flesh." This is a strong argument why a man should love his wife and show kindness to her. No man disregards the happiness of his own body or himself. So he should show equal care to promote the happiness of his wife. You see, it's totally unnatural. It's contrary to the first principles of nature, which the Jews understood. And this is, you know, Paul the Apostle is writing to a Jewish people here, people who had gotten saved. He's trying to enlighten them. And by the way, he's trying to enlighten us today, and God is trying to help us. It's totally unnatural and contrary to the first principles of nature, which the Jews understood and which they understand, to treat their wives differently than one would treat themselves. In other words, for the husband to treat his wife differently than he treats himself. And certainly, the man would not hate himself, so he would not hate one who is a near relative, and there is none nearer than a wife. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is near us. We certainly wouldn't be mean to him. Why would we be mean to the one that he has sent our way to be our helpmeet? Isaiah 58:7 says, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him?" Notice, "and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." We're to be upright with our wives. We're to nurture them and protect them. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." We're to take care of our wives, husbands, just as Jesus Christ is taking care of his church right now. And thank God, one of these days, as we've looked at Ephesians, we're going to be with Jesus Christ. We're going to see him face to face, and we're going to see him as he is, and we're going to see ourselves right now. We look through a glass darkly, but then face to face with Jesus Christ, our Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.